Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Constitutional Court dismissed the IEC's application to postpone municipal elections. And the question is, why? How did they reach that conclusion? Sandile Swane, political analyst. Good morning once again. How
are
you doing?
Jolly good. How are they? Hope you're all right.
I am indeed. Great to have you back on the show. So take us through this process. Did the IEC expect, well, clearly they didn't expect to lose this one.
Yes. I also thought that they would succeed, but, you know, before we even go into the legal merits of this whole case, all of us here in Africa and elsewhere have got to always be careful of the postponement of elections, because in Africa we have a rich history where elections start being delayed, being postponed, and then eventually abolished. So the regular election, there's a prescription period that the elections must be held within 90 days of the expiry of the term of the previously elected council. One of the issues that the judges debated and argued is that, you know, we don't want a situation where people remain in power beyond the 90 days without winning an election. So in other words, if you are going to be in power after 90 days, let's say after the 1st of November, then you must have been elected. So that is the issue. The issue is to say, implement the law as it is. The other consideration, the fact that the election, because one of the arguments was that the election may not be free and fair. And in its laws, the Electoral Commission has got a right, and they use that right, to investigate whether, in their opinion, the election will be free and fair. But the court, the majority judgment said, you whilst that opportunity is there in the present circumstances and in other circumstances, in fact, whether an election is free or fair can be determined with the hard facts of how the election actually went about. We know that in many African countries, in South Africa, we've not had this problem of unfair and unfree elections in such a way. In other African countries, people get beaten up. The non-ruling parties, let's call them that, tend to be beaten up and somehow prohibited by the supporters of the ruling party from going there, arrested, and we've not had those problems. And also, I mean, this is to add just the social dimension to this. Many other activities are going on. Supermarkets are operating. All sorts of activities are going on. The judges themselves, they are running their courts.
That's true.
And they are producing judgments and so on.
Yeah.
So they don't see this idea that you cannot hold a free and fair election, because all that it requires is that you must adhere to the COVID-19 protocols and be successful. So those are some of the issues. And the other touchy subject, why this issue, and there's a write-up on this, about why the Electoral Commission did not hold even two voter registration weekends. And now that I was reading the judgment, having listened to Musineke before, I'm also wondering, because I can't remember exactly the good reason that was tabled by the Electoral Commission, why in actual fact in all this time they did not hold the proper election registration weekend, or even two as they have done, because the record shows that every year since 1994 they have actually successfully held these weekends. And when you think what it takes, as they are doing now under conditions of COVID-19, they've done this past weekend successfully. So the question that they are asking, it was actually an unconstitutional behavior on that, because not to hold this voter registration weekend in the first place.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to follow this. And now that we look at it that way, and I mean, the most obvious thing is what you've just said, is that, well, everybody else seems to be managing to live a normal life. And, well, not normal. We're not living normal lives, but we're functioning. Why couldn't the elections go ahead? Do you think that there was a chance that the IEC was influenced by the ANC? And I don't mean in a monetary way or pressure, but just untoward pressure, but just maybe their arguments and their approach to it could have weighed the approach of the IEC?
I think that I wouldn't go that way. And the reason why I wouldn't go that way is because I actually listened to Judge Musinebe when he was presenting the reasons why he made this decision. He made the decision that on the basis of the scientific evidence that was there about the fourth wave. However, even within that argument of being fearful of the fourth wave and all that, there is a window. There is a window before that fourth wave kicks in. And there is a window. The scientists generally agree about that. So, the decision or the recommendations of Musinege in this case, regardless of how the IEC came to ask for him to do the investigation in the first place, where I like the fact that he said, you see, when people, because political parties also make submissions, he says, a political argument in a case like this, you have no way of determining the merits of a political argument when you have to make an operational decision, like do we have this election on this date or on that date. So the political decisions, the proposals were noted, but the more technical knowledge or conditions from the scientific community probably counted for 95% of the proposal to postpone the election.
Right. Very, very interesting indeed. I see that there's been a statement that the ANC does have funds to manage this election. That made me think of that aspect of it, because why would they need to say that, of course, if there wasn't a concern around that? And of course we know that they've struggled to pay their staff. They've had a bit of a collection, a public funding for a crowdfunding or for the salaries. Do you think that they are going to be able to put forward or put up a decent campaign?
Let me just touch on something else before I come to your direct question.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the IFP and the EFF were on the side of the ANC in this matter,
right,
in terms of requests. They actually asked for very long extensions, actually, themselves. So for us to try and pin this on the ANC, it's not there. And the EFF in particular have been very scared of they've been probably one of the most alarmist organizations around COVID-19. So the ANC had good support in what they were doing from other political parties.
Right. I do think that's an important clarification. Certainly,
yes.
I wasn't aware of the level of support that they had, so that is important. We only have around about a minute left. If you can just talk to the question around the ANC, if they have the capacity or the capability to manage this election.
Yes. My point about the ANC and its capacity to manage this election, I have a view that the ANC in recent years has become a very extravagant organization, recklessly extravagant organization, and mismanagement of finance within the ANC in its process. You will remember that the ANC, if you include the UDF and all that, from 1980 until 1994, they probably ran the country on less than perhaps 5% of the budget that they had. They were running successful campaigns in this country. So they've got to revert back to the methods that worked when they were not in government, able to steal tenders. So if they use the methods that they used to be successful before, they can still be successful. And this reckless stealing of money and using stolen funds to run fake elections and all these other things that they are doing is totally uncalled for. They can run a successful
Right. In other words, they're capable of it. They just need to do it.